Acts chapter number 9, and we will just read a few verses, down to verse 4, chapter 9, verse 1, down to verse 4. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues that... Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, talking about the way of Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Let's pray right there. Lord, we love you. Praise be in the message, Lord. I pray that you'd bring to my mind all the thoughts, Lord, that you've confirmed in my heart and my mind, Lord, over the last few weeks in studying this and praying about it and thinking about it. Lord, just pray to have your way in the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this is the conversion story of Paul, but it's also his missions calling. It happened all at once for him, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag because it's really hard to get it back in. You have no idea what it took me to get the cat inside the bag. But anyway, there's no cat in any bag. But anyway, so I just want to look at Paul tonight because there's a phrase, that he says that pertains to us. Very, very much so, and I want you to ask yourself this phrase, and we're not going to, you probably already know what it is, that's okay if you do, don't say it out loud, but I just want to look at what Paul was doing before his conversion and before his calling, and then I want to look at what happened once Paul was confronted with who Christ really is, and tonight I want you to be confronted with who Christ really is, and what Christ really wants from your life. Even though your name's not Saul of Tarsus, he still wants some things from your life.
Right.
And so, and you need to come to terms with those things tonight. Tonight, you need to settle it in your heart what it is that God wants from your life and whether or not you're actually going to submit to it or whether you're going to stay the same when it comes to missions, when it comes to service for the Lord. So we see there in verse number 1, in Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Some P words I want to try to use if I can. I want to see first that Paul had pride. Paul had his pride in his natural state. Very much prideful. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, I believe, and very zealous for Judaism at that point. What was known to be Judaism when it comes to the law, the Pharisees, the councils, all the things. The righteousness as pertaining to the righteousness that's in the law, he said earlier. He said later, and I believe it was Philippians, that he was blameless. So, you know, he had his pride. Paul had a lot of pride for what he was doing. When we come across Paul right here, he is a man that is full of pride. And knows what he wants and knows how to get it. I mean, that was Paul. He knew what he wanted, and he knew how to get it. Now, we may not all be in that position tonight. We may know what we want, but we have no idea how to get it. That's probably where most of us are at. Amen. Paul had pride. He had a lot of pride. We see here that Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. This is how you know he was full of pride, because he wasn't afraid to say it. He wasn't afraid to say that he was against this way. He was against who he thought Christ was. He was against the thought of Christ having any type of following. He was full of pride when it came to it. He was against it wholeheartedly, so much so that it did not... he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. So not only was he just like one of the people that was like, yeah, you know, we should probably put them down. He was like leading the charge in breathing out. When it says breathing out, it means that he was all the time spewing from his mouth the hatred and the slaughter and the captivity of the Christian, and how he wanted to eradicate them. He wanted to eradicate the church from Judaism. He said, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. I want to look at next that he had position. He had position. Not only did he have pride in what he was doing, but he also had position. He had position to go unto the high priest and request something from him. That's saying a lot. Back then they had these social structures set up. And anybody ever seen the movie, the show The Chosen? I know a lot of people have been watching it. And how many of you went to go see the release of the two newest ones in the theaters? A couple of you? Okay. Well, if you know, like, I like the way they do that because they kind of put a visual on kind of how the structures were set up, the hierarchies were set up within the priesthood, within the Sanhedrin, within how those related to Rome, and how they had to go through certain things and avenues to get stuff done. And it was like, you couldn't just like any old guy off the street going to the high priest and say, "Hey, I need some authority here." Paul had position. Because he was a Pharisee, he had position. And he used that position. He used that position to fulfill what he thought he wanted to get done. It fed into his pride, without a doubt. It says in verse number 9 that threatenings and slaughter, or rather chapter 9 verse 1, against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest. He had pride and he had position. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So we see there that he also had pride, he had position, he also had papers to prove it. He got letters from the high priest that said he has authority to do what he's going to do. And that's saying a lot. So there's really nothing that can stop him from carrying this out. He's got the position. He's in with the right people that allow him to have the authority. And not only that, but he's got the passion and the pride to actually carry it out. He actually believes in what he's doing. He actually believes in what he's doing. That if he find any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Now, before we get too far into this and where he gets to meet Christ, there are a lot of things that we have in our lives that we have set up. We have our pride. Everybody in here has got a level of pride of what they want and how to get it, right? Or they have what they want and how to keep it, which isn't necessarily always a bad thing. The Lord's probably blessed some of us, all of us, with what we have, amen. If the Lord hadn't blessed you, then you wouldn't have anything. Can I get an amen? Y'all dead out there? What's the matter with you? Y'all look at me like this. What's the matter with y'all? Wake up! Amen? Has the Lord been good to you? I'm not ringing this bell. I loathe this bell. I loathe it. I loathe loathe. Amen. The bell. So, has the Lord been good to you?
Amen.
Amen. Are you proud of anything in your life that God's done? You understand that Paul thought he was doing God's will. Amen. There are things in your life that you're proud of. Some of you are proud of your career. Some of you are proud of your family. Some of you are proud of the job that you know, the position you have. Some of you are proud of what you can do with your hands. Some of you are proud of your hobby. Maybe you're talented and you're doing things. No, that's not necessarily a bad thing. We've all got positions somewhere. We have a position in somebody's life. You've got a position in somebody's life. You have somebody in your life that you can go to that can either validate or dismiss your claims on whatever it is in your life that's going on. You have your go-to person that you call up and say, "Hey, this is what's going on. What do I do?" Or, "This is what happened. How do I handle it?" Or, "What do you think I should do?" What you're doing for them is you're looking for validation. That's what Paul was doing. He's like, "Hey, give me letters to prove that what I feel and what I'm doing is what I should be doing. And give me the authority to do it." We all have those people in our lives. And then we've all got, the one was papers. You probably don't have papers for that, but you don't make them write out a letter. "I believe in so-and-so." You can chase your dreams if you want to, but you'll never catch them. Amen. No, but we've all got these things set up, but that we're after. Paul was consumed with this. This is what Paul was doing with his life. He thought he was serving God, and he thought that his job was to destroy the church because in his mind, Christ was a blasphemer and a troublemaker, and he deserved to die. And anybody that was following after him deserved the same fate. Now, he was definitely wrong. Amen. He was definitely wrong. You ever been wrong before? Are there things in your life that maybe you're wrong about now? Anybody?
Amen.
All right. It's things that maybe you feel strongly about? Anybody? Anybody? Huh? I know you're wicked. I live with you. She said the same thing to me. I just had to get her before she got me. Amen. No, but anything you might feel strongly about that maybe isn't right? When you look at what he's about to look at, which is in contrast to what Christ wants from him. Amen? Do you follow me? He's about to see, he's got all these, and he's on his way, man. No one can stop him. He's got the position, he's got his papers, he's got his passion. I mean, you couldn't talk him down. He's got the authority to do it, so now you can't get in his way. Amen? He's got the position, so there's no way you can take him out of this structure that's going to just be a juggernaut for turning in Christians. But then something happens. What happens is he comes in contact with who Christ really is.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Paul is not a believer. Okay? Paul has got one of the most miraculous conversions in Scripture. We don't see Christ appearing to anyone in this fashion as he does Paul. That's right. And see a conversion and a calling like instantaneous.
That's right.
He's got that. It's unique to him. It's very unique to him. But we can take some of the things that happened to Paul and look at our life and say, okay, well, then I need to do some inventory.
Right.
Okay? Paul had an idea of who Christ was. He thought he was a betrayer. He thought he was a blasphemer. He thought he was just a troublemaker. Now, I know that nobody in here tonight believes that. But maybe you have some ideas about your Lord that maybe aren't really up to par with who he really is. And really not up to par with what he really wants from your life. See, we kind of toy around with the Lord a lot. We do. We toy around with the Lord. Lord, just bless me, keep me safe, keep me happy, and I'll go to church. You know what I mean? We toy around with the Lord. Lord, just give me what I want, and I'll just kind of be there for you. And, you know, just I'll kind of show up for you. First of all, Jesus doesn't need us to be here whatsoever.
Right.
Amen? That's one of the things we understand, that we need to be here more than He needs us here.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things that when it comes to how we view the Lord, if we were to get for lack of better example, if we would have an experience like Paul, where you're on your way home tonight from church thinking, well, I've got these things in my life and I've got them set up and I'm on my way and this is the way it's going to be and I have an idea about who the Lord is. If the Lord were to stop you in the middle of the road and shine a light around you and say to you, not necessarily why do you persecute me, but why don't you do what I want you to do? Amen? The way I want you to do them. That's one of the things that just broke my heart about. I came to pastor last weekend. After the missions conference and after Brother Mark from the Philippines preached, Lord just smote my heart like, it's time to get going. This isn't something that we're going to, we don't have the luxury of waiting for time. We need to get after it. Amen? And if we've got a calling on our lives, it's time to get after it. It's not to sit around and toy with it. It's time to get after it. Amen? We see in verse number 5, look down what he says. He said, thank God, he said, and he said, amen. And he said, who art thou, Lord? So here's the thing. Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm Jesus right off the bat. He just come out with it. He come out with who he is. He showed his glory. He showed him, this is who I am. I am, it's hard for me to just, I've been trying to figure out how to word this. He exposed himself without naming himself. He just shined a light about it. Look at verse number 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto Saul, or verse 3 rather, and as he, go back to verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. That's probably brighter than one of those stupid light bars that they got on these Jeeps rolling around all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Those idiots, I'd love to have a BB gun, just shoot those things out. And go, that's just too bright. Amen? Well, Paul couldn't shoot this light out. Amen? He had, and you gotta understand that back in the day, traveling Damascus, you know what they didn't do? They didn't travel at night. So he's traveling during the day, And there is a light that shines on him during the middle of the day in the desert. Anybody ever been to the desert? Not very many shadowy places. If the sun's up, the sun's up, and that's about all you see is the sun. Well, there is a light that shined that completely outshined the sun. And he heard a voice, and it was so bright, and it was so powerful, just the light shining on Paul. They said, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So see, we see here that all up to this time, he was passionate and focus and had position and had his authority to do whatever he was going to do against the church, because he had an idea of who Jesus Christ was, and he was determined to wipe him out. But then when he comes in contact and is confronted with who Christ really is, you see what happens. We see that he is on the ground, and I want to slow down to use this word, he's prostrated, which means he's humbled. He's humbled. It says there that what did he do in verse number 4? And he did what? He fell to the earth. So he no longer is riding high upon whatever animal it was he was riding on, or in whatever, you know, maybe he was in some type of carriage, who knows what. He was in a Camelback. That's a real thing. I didn't say it. I regurgitated it. But that's hilarious still. Who ever thought a Camelback was great? So, but now he's humbled. You see that when we come into contact and we are confronted, now Christ let us all have just a little bit of taste of who he really is. He did when he revealed himself as our Savior. When he confronted you with your sin, the Holy Ghost confronted you with your sin and showed you Christ as your Savior, that was as much of Christ as you can handle. But He really does desire to have more of you and for you to be exposed to more of Him. And if we were to do that, we would see that the things that we have set up in our lives, that we kind of toy around with the Lord, we would be humbled by who He really is. And we would be confronted with these things. And we would, I believe, have the same thought that Paul does. Where the Lord said in verse number 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He already recognized, whoever this is Lord. There's no doubt about that. Well, it's Jesus. And said there, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to say the same thing to you. If you're saved in here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ and He has dealt with your heart about some type of mission work or service or position, something that you know He's called you to, I'm here to tell you, it's so hard to go against that in your life.
That's right.
It is so hard. In other words, the Lord reveals Himself to Saul and immediately says, don't even try resisting, it's not going to be good for you. Don't even try to resist, because it's not going to be good for you. It's hard for you to go against what I'm calling you to. You're going to have to put more effort and fight harder and deny longer and ignore all the things and excuse all the mishaps that come in your life from chastisement, from running from the call in your life, than you will to just go with it.
That's right.
Amen? Man, the heartaches. The heartaches of, I mean, when God was calling you to preach, you know what I'm talking about. The turmoil. The internal turmoil. Like where you're just like, you can't even do your daily functions because you know this is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
Amen? Now this is Paul's conversion, but it's also his calling, and I want to apply it to our lives today, and I don't want to be too much longer, but I just want to look at this. And he said in verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And so that's the main thought for tonight. If we're confronted with who Christ really is, He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God that sits currently on the right hand of the Father, awaiting His soon return to the earth. Amen? But you're down here. And you're saved. And you've got all these things in your life going on, but He's your Lord. And it's hard for you to go against whatever it is He's called you to do. Maybe He's just calling you to faithful, regular service. Then do it. Maybe He's calling you to go far, far away. Surrender to it. Surrender to it and say, okay, you want me to go far, far away? I'll go far, far away. Maybe he's asking you to just go down the street. Amen? But I would love us tonight to just come to terms with who Christ is really. He's not just our Savior, He's our Lord.
Right.
And He's the God of the universe. And He's the Savior of the world that doesn't know He's the Savior of the world. And He's left it in our hands to go tell them about it. He just said, He doesn't want us to perform miracles. We can't do that. He just wants us to tell them.
Right.
He doesn't want us to heal the sick. We can't do that. But you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to go tell them. And that's something that fired me up the other day. I don't have to do all the things that the apostles did. I don't have to do that. All I have to do is be faithful to go and to tell.
Amen.
That's it. To tell them. Be faithful to go and tell them. But I mean, when's the last time you asked the Lord from a pure heart and an honest heart, what would Thou have me to do? We have so much inner dialogue with, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I think, and this is what I feel, and this is what I'm going to do my hardest to do, and this is what I'm never doing again, and this is what I can't stand, and all these things. When's the last time we ever said, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Paul's confronted with Christ for who He really is. It's His conversion. Lord, who art Thou? Okay, and he believes that's Jesus. There ain't no denying that, but there was an act of faith there. It wasn't like He forced him to get saved.
Right.
He got saved by grace through faith. But immediately, because of the passion that he had in his life and the position and all the things that he was used to doing, he immediately took all those things. He didn't lose those things. He just converted them.
Yep.
See, we have this compartmentalized Christianity where it's like, well, I have my Christian faith. How do I make it work with my day-to-day life? You should take your day-to-day life and completely flip it over and make it fit your Christian life now.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Because guess what? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Yep.
Your day-to-day life is going to try to just hinder and stop and halt and turn around and slow foot you and make it to where it's almost impossible to serve God.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it even convinces you to not serve God because it just gets too hard, because the Bible says it would be.
Right.
He didn't lose His passion. He converted it to Christ. Amen?
Amen?
He didn't lose His position. I mean, He went from a Pharisee to an apostle. I would say He gained a position. Amen? He took everything He learned and He applied it to Christ. I guarantee His whole mind was blown, man. Because He knew the Old Testament. He knew the prophecies. He knew the law. He knew all the pictures and types. And when He met Christ, when it finally clicked for Him, He was probably like, oh. You know what I mean? I would have been. I am often. When I learned just a little bit of something easy, something itty-bitty in the Bible, and God shows it to me, I'm like, oh. I think of the whole world. You know what I mean? I think I'm like, my prayer. No, so, no, I'm not like that. I'm like, you got to hear this. Did you know this? Some people. You ever been with somebody and you're having a conversation? Say there's more than one of you, like two, or there's got to be more than one of you. Or you should see a doctor. All right, so so there's more than two of you. There's more than two of you. Okay, or maybe there's three of you, and you're having a conversation and it's like getting heated, and then somebody, the third party, is completely oblivious to what it is you're talking about, but in the middle of a sentence stands up with the same intensity and the same fervor that you're having this conversation about and says something completely off the wall. That's what I do when I figure out something in the Bible.
or God shows me something in the Bible. People will be talking about the football game. Did you see that touchdown? Yeah, did you know? And I start giving them something about the Bible. Amen. Did you know that Moses was a type of Christ? Did you know that? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Colts, man. I'm talking about Moses. They're like, you're weird, man. I get excited about those things. You know, Paul took those things and he used them for the glory of God. He didn't just say, well, I can never do that again. He says, no, I can do that for Jesus. Amen? But he had to ask himself, what would thou have me to do? And when he answered him, he did it. Isn't that a novel idea? That when he answers you, do it.
Amen.
When he answers you, don't go, no, he ain't talking to me. It's like, it's just us here again. It's just us two, or us. When he answers you, submit to it. Accept it. Agree with it. By faith. Amen? By faith. You look down at verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood preaching, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. See how that works? Twice in this passage we see people that say, what would I have you to do? And the Lord says, this, and they do it. Or the Lord says, hey, you! And the person goes, yes? Amen?
Amen.
How come we don't do that? How come we don't have that type of mentality that not only we're not going to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's more like, Lord, please don't pick me. Please don't ask me to do anything. Please. That's the way we act, isn't it?
Right.
Please don't pick me. I love you and everything. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, but it would just be a horrible idea if you picked me. I give you 100 reasons why. Seriously, that's the way we think, isn't it? Or when the Lord when the Lord's tired of waiting for you to ask Him, He just says, hey, you do this. And it's like, you know it. You see it in your mind. God gives it to you. And it's like, here's all the things that you need to, like, point A to point B, God just hits you with it. And you're like, yeah, that's a crazy idea. That was probably me just being crazy. That wasn't you, dummy. That was God.
Amen.
Amen? Now, if it is something crazy, that wasn't God. That was you. Okay? Just run it through pastor, okay? Give him all the details. If he says you're not crazy, then you're good to go. Amen? But you know when it's the Holy Ghost talking. All jokes aside, I don't want to confuse you because I'm being serious. You know when God tells you and prompts you to do something. Don't you? Have you ever felt the prompting of the Lord? You know when it's Him. Instead of excusing it away for emotionalism or that's a grand idea, but it'll never happen, or he would never pick me. Just do it! Just say, okay. And then take it to the next person that should know about it and say, this is what God told me to do. And just watch what God does with it. When the Lord revealed to me, we've known we were going to Plainfield for a long time. We've known that. We've been planning for it. We've had all these things going on. But when the Lord spoke to my heart so much that I wanted to bawl my eyes out, which doesn't happen a whole lot, when I wanted to bawl my eyes out, after the missions conference, a number of things, but then after Brother Mark preached, I came to the pastor and said, I'm just here to tell you. This is what God told me. And pastor said, all right, amen. And you know what I mean? So take it to the next person that needs to know that that's what God's called you to do. And God will confirm it with you. Amen? So not only does Paul know that he's got something to do for God, but now Ananias knows. And there was a certain disciple, verse 10, at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. So he went from breathing out threatenings and slaughter to pray.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority, see that, from the chief priests to bind. He didn't even make it yet. How did Ananias know he had authority? He didn't even make it to Damascus yet before this happened. That's weird. Never caught that before. Huh? He had heard. Or maybe the men that he was going with went ahead of him. You never know. Then Ananias, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints in Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. That's something I want. That's the point I want to make. The Lord has something for you to do. Everybody look at me. All of you look at me. The Lord has something for you to do. I don't care what the brethren says. I don't care what other churches have told you. I don't care what your family says or your work says or whatever's going on in your life. The Lord has something for you to do.
Right.
He has chosen you for something. It may be something little, but to you it's big. You understand that? I don't care if it's little. I don't care if it's mopping the floor. And you hear these things all the time. I'm trying to make it real to you. It doesn't matter if it's just mopping the floor. If He's put on your heart, the church should be clean. I should clean the church. I should do it with pride and with passion and with authority. Amen? Kind of like Paul was doing with killing Christians. It's not quite the same, but you can apply it. Amen? Don't ever tell that to nobody when they walk in Sunday and you're mopping the floor. I'm mopping the floor like Paul killed Christians. Don't do that. Amen? I know it's bad. I'm sorry. But seriously, you should. Not in that analogy, but you should take your pride and you should put it toward the thing of the Lord. You should have pride in what God has called you to do. You should have passion for what God's called you to do. He said there that He's a chosen vessel unto Him to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and of the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, there's obedience, and entered into his house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. So, man, he had a quick one, didn't he? He had a conversion, a baptism, and a calling, man, all right there. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he what? What's the next word? Verse 20. And straightway he preached. So he went from having passion and pride and position with authority with his papers to do it to praying and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. All because he asked the question, what would that have me to do? And he recognized Jesus Christ for who he was and what he demanded of his life. You have to understand, we're going to face God one day. And not just with the what we did, but with what we didn't do. Amen? And I would rather spend 1 minute in the perfect will of God with the power of God on my life and die right after than to spend 100 years out of the will of God. Not doing what God wants me to do. Amen? And you should too. So I want you to ask yourself this question tonight. First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Paul had to come to terms with who Jesus Christ was, and so do you. I know we have a lot of regulars in here, and members mostly. But if you're not saved, you need to come to terms with the fact that you're a sinner and that Christ died for your sin. And that He longs to be your Savior and to free you from your sin and make you a new creature. Amen? If you have never done that, you can do that tonight. Amen? And then after that, and for all that are already Christians, you need to ask yourself, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? And do it with an open heart, and whatever He tells you, receive it. Now, if He tells you to go live in Antarctica on a boat, ask Pastor about it. Amen? He might be doing that. I don't know. But just ask Pastor first. Okay? But seriously, ask the Lord what He would have for you to do. And understand when you ask Him that you're chosen of Him to do something for Him. Just like you may not be a Paul, but you're you, and God's chosen you to do something for Him. Before we close, I want to go to Philippians. You thought I was done. I was not done. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. This is after Paul's been in the mission field. This is after he's been in the mission field and suffered some things and been through it for Jesus. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now he's talking about carnality and the carnal things and positions. The things that he had, remember the things that he had? It's like a manifesto of the things that he had and how God used them to save people and change them. Circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel. Of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's Paul saying, it's been better on this side than it was on that one. To paraphrase, it's been far greater on this side than it ever was on that one. And he said, and I just look forward to knowing Him more and more. He said, I lost everything that I thought. In other words, not that he couldn't find it, but he forsook it. He forsook all the things that he thought were gain unto him. The things that he thought mattered in his life didn't matter when he was confronted with who Christ was and the call that Christ had on his life. And when he started pursuing with the same passion and the same pride that he had in his former life, when he started pursuing his calling, he said, oh man, he said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said they don't even compare. So tonight I want to challenge you. I don't care what your life's been like up to this point. Just ask the Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Amen? Let's pray. The altar's open. If you want to come, I want to just lead us in prayer here for just a moment. Father, we do love You. Lord, as You begin to deal with hearts, Lord, I pray that You would meet soft hearts, Lord, that Your Spirit would be able to provoke those that You've called and It's a decision tonight. Lord, I pray that those that need to be saved, Lord, would come forward. God, I ask that you just move in a great way and help us all, Lord, to see the great calling that you have on our life, Lord, and that you're worthy of service, Lord, that you're worthy of us surrendering our life and surrendering our passions and our positions and the things that we have, Lord, for your call, Lord, and that we might proclaim the gospel, Lord, to people, that those that are nearest hell, Lord, might be saved. And Lord, I pray that you give us boldness to do that, God. I pray that you just provoke these tonight, Lord, to come forward, Lord, and ask, what would thou have me to do? Lord, that our lives may not be just without purpose, Lord, that our lives would be fulfilling in your will, and that we might please you and not please ourselves in the things we do in our daily lives, Lord, but that we might gain, Lord, as Paul said, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, we just pray that you have your way in our hearts. We thank you for this time in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.